I'm glad to have you here. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The scripture that I was so excited about that I intended to preach from, I'm not going to preach from. While we were reading the scriptures, the Lord just began to speak this word, and it's not an unfamiliar word. One of the things I like about the scripture is that if as long as it doesn't contradict truth that's established in the word, 20, 30 people could preach from a word, a place in scripture, and give a totally different sermon. It'll all be true. It's a magnificent, it's a glorious book. This is a familiar scripture to those of us who've been around a while. But the Lord just began to speak this to me while I was preparing for worship. And it just seems so right to where we are and to what God's doing. Because one of the things that we do during Lent, of course, is that we express a fast. The whole thing about giving up something isn't about being religious. It's about fasting. And of course, any of you want to, and there's always to do, you can fast the whole time until Easter. Total fast if you want to. But the recommendation is that that you give some extravagant expression of affection and love to Him by laying something at His feet for the time of Lent until Easter, just again as an expression of your love and devotion and desperation for Him. So different people do different things, and I hear a lot about chocolates and candy, and then some people give up red meats, or they give up a meal a day, or give up TV or the computer or Facebook or things like that. Things like Facebook are new to the Lenten menu over the years. And we give up those things just as devotions to Him. Jesus, true love costs you something. And the Lord certainly expressed true love to us when He gave Himself to us at the cross. And the disciplines of the Christian life aren't about legalism. They're just about expressing something, giving Him something that costs you something, as the sincere desire of your affection for Him. And so that's real personal. We do that so that God will meet us in a new and powerful way when we come to Easter. Because when we start Lent on Ash Wednesday, we already have Easter resurrection in view. And we join Christ in His 40 days of fasting and seeking the Lord in the wilderness, but we view Easter. And so we're preparing ourselves for just a fresh renewal, fresh power of resurrection to affect every part of our lives. And this is just a season of renewal after renewal after renewal after renewal, to where this is like the funnest time in the world to be here. And the Lord told us about a year ago that these were the best years of our lives. Today, in our noon service, those of you who never get to come, and that's cool, you pray for us. I don't know how many people we had here today from all over the city, but it was not many under 100. And it's just amazing what the Lord's doing here, Christ the King, and how God's using, and I'm so grateful, as just an ecumenical expression of love of God, as people just come and receive Christ, and it's about Jesus. And that's why I'm so thrilled that it happens in the context of the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is all about Christ being exalted. And He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to Myself. And that's what we see God doing. But the other thing I want you to use this fast for, as you lay something at the feet of Christ during this season, I want you to also pray for Selma. And one of the things the Lord told us prophetically in a public service was that we had a parental and grandparental calling on us in terms of what God's doing in Selma. And so one of the things that that's expressed is you lay your life down for those that God's called you to love and to help care and nurture. And so we're called to play a part, a nurturing part in this move of God in our city. And so I would just encourage us as a church that you add to the list of things you're crying out God for during this fast, during this season of Lent, that you're praying for this city and this community. And you're calling forth in your prayer this revival that we're seeing the early expressions of. And you're believing God and standing for that too in your own personal walk. And we'll do that as a unified people. And remember that this is not just about us. It's about us, not just me, but all of us here in this community. Amen. Well, if you turn to Song of Solomon chapter 2, and I'll just give you a Song of Solomon insight to what Lent's all about. We've seen this scripture before. It's been actually one of those fork in the road scriptures for us over the years, but I want you to see it in the context of Lent and what Lent is all about. Beginning at verse 8, I'm just going to read verse 8 through 17. Listen, my beloved, behold, he is coming. He's climbing on the mountains and leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall, and he is looking through the windows. He is peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me, arise, my darling and my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. And the flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning and singing. And the voice of the Holy Spirit, the turtle dove, has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs. The vines and blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling and my beautiful one, and come along. O my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form, and let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet, and your form is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes, that are ruining the vineyards, while our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He pastures his flock among the lilies. Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bether. I believe that we can honestly say, for us corporately and for us as a community, and therefore I would assume for each of you personally, and let me just say this to you too, is that if you're not being drawn in to a new place in the Lord in light of what's going on, then you're trying really hard to not get there. You're having to work at it, because the grace of God is like this inertia that is pulling us towards the center of his heart right now. Listen, my beloved, behold, he is coming. He is climbing on the mountains, and he is leaping on the hills. This is exactly what Christ is doing in this community called Selma. He's coming. I'm not talking about the second coming of Christ, though that's probably not very far away. But he's coming to Selma in the power of revival. He's coming to Selma to renew and heal and make whole and raise up. He's coming to the humble, to that place which has been humbled before him, to exalt him. He's come into this place, this city, this community. It's not just happening at Christ the King. It's happening in other places all over. Our Lord is coming. He's also coming here. He's coming to each of us personally. He's inviting us to a new place in him. Symbolically, this whole season of Lent that we end up at Easter, that's symbolically telling us that God's wanting us to arrive to a new place where the power of his resurrection is stunningly real, magnificently personal, and corporate. Sort of like there is this, listen, give attention. Behold, he's coming. Pay attention to the season that we're in, corporately, community-wise, and personally and individually. My beloved is like a gazelle or young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows, and he is peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me, arise, my darling, and my beautiful one, and come along. And I believe that's what Lent really is that no matter where you're at, and no matter how good it is, no matter how comfortable the place is, and again, it may be a place that you and Christ have built together spiritually, that your spiritual house is in a really good place, and you've learned to navigate that place really well. Well, Lent is about coming to us and saying, God is the God of much more. He's always saying, rise up and come along. He's always telling us, abandon that place, even though it may be a place of progress, even though it may be an interior place from where you once were, it's time to go more. Lent always calls us to the much more of Christ. Lent always calls us to look forward, long for the new chamber, the new heart chamber closer to the center heartbeat of Christ. That's what Lent's about. And Ash Wednesday is that day. And Ash Wednesday is that day when we put the sign of the cross in ashes. And ashes remind us of our humanity, our frailty, and our absolute desperate dependence on him. And that we have to follow. We have to keep moving forward. We have to keep chasing. And in the pursuit, this is Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Draw me after you and let us run together. The king has brought me into his chambers. That heart cry never stops. And every Lent, there's that thing that happens again where we hear the beloved calling. We listen, my beloved. And we hear the Lord stirring. We sense his presence. And we cry out again, draw me after you, and we will run. Draw me after you, and I will run with you, Lord. And once again, the Lord comes and says, rise up, even from that good place that you've been, because there's more. Those of us who've watched the Lord do remarkable things in the last year and a half, and we think these things, Margaret, we go, could it ever get any better than this? And the answer is, Lent says, yep, it always can get better. And Lent's that season where God kind of grabs us and goes, there's more. Don't stop and try to swim here. There's water here you've never known before, but it gets deeper. Rise up, my darling and my beautiful one, and come along. Because Lent involves repentance and confessing of sin and fasting, sometimes we think it's a season of condemnation. That's nonsense. It's the Lord affirming us and saying, rise up, my beautiful one and my darling who've come to this place, and now there's more. There's always more for you. There's always more for his bride. And so we're at this door of the season of Lent. And again, the word Lent means to lengthen. To lengthen our spiritual life. To increase our capacity to love him, to contain him, to express his love. He says, rise up, my darling, and come along. For the winter is past. I'm not using my old Bible, so the pages, I can't turn them really easy. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning. And this scripture, those who've been around long enough know that can be interpreted as pruning or singing. And I believe it's both. It's through pruning that God elevates our song for him. We're all called to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. But it's through pruning that God raises the melody, fine-tunes the sound, brings us in harmony with his heart. Lent is a time of pruning. Lent is a time when we invite the Lord to come in the most transparent way. We invite him to come and to show us those things that hold us back from moving forward, from moving further up and further in. We ask him to touch those things and to prune them, no matter how painful it would be. We ask him to do that so that he can increase the singing. Remember again, those of you who are around, we studied through the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who mourn their sin, for they shall be comforted. They shall be Holy Spirited, as paracleted. Blessed are those who weep, for they shall laugh. And the thing about repentance and owning our stuff, often again, we're so afraid to do that because somehow we're afraid that if we own that we did anything else wrong, our whole sense of self-image and security would just shatter. That's because it's built on a false self-image, if that's where you're at. When the Lord deals with us and shows us stuff, he always affirms us, even though it may be painful. And he wants to fill us again, and he wants to restore laughter to our soul. Because it's sin. It's sin, it says in Psalm 22, that makes the very liquid of our body drain from us, as it were, as if we've had no vitality at all. And the Lord wants to come to restore our holy and spiritual vitality. So singing comes from pruning. If there's not singing in your heart, it's because you've not allowed God to do the pruning. If there's not laughter in your soul, is because there's some things you've not been willing to own and mourn and call them what they are. Don't be afraid of confession. Be afraid to not confess. Listen to what it says in the scripture in Psalm 32. I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you. This was the sermon I was going to preach, and I won't preach the sermon, but I do want you to hear a couple of verses. How blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. That doesn't mean how happy, how lucky. It means how blessed. Do you know what it means to be blessed? How much do people who allow themselves to be forgiven get blessed? Well, you can't get forgiven if you don't own your stuff. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. We stop blaming other people. We stop calling it something other than it is. We open before the God, for God, and say, Lord, deal with me. Show me. Be specific. Be gloriously brutal, O God. I don't want to play any more games. I've had a foretaste of what it is. I've tasted the goodness of God, and I want more. I'm eager to rise up and come along to a new place. But that place is going to cost me something. But it's going to increase the singing. When I kept silent about my sin, the juices of my body were drained away. Through my groaning all day long, my roaring, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, conviction, and my vitality was drained away as the fever heat of the summer. And when I finally acknowledged my sin to thee, in my iniquity I did not hide, I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Therefore let everyone who is godly, godly people, have to confess sin. That's one of the things that make you godly. Therefore let everyone who is godly pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. When's that time in the Scripture? When I need him for forgiveness and mercy. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. Thou art my hiding place when I sin. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. And when I confess before you, thou dost surround me with the songs of deliverance. That's what happens when you own your stuff. Not rejection, not condemnation. God doesn't agree with your broken heart that you're something's terrible about you and you're awful. As a matter of fact, God's pursuit of you, his dealing with you, his continual pursuit of you in conviction lets you know that if somebody so extraordinary would pursue you and trouble himself with you, there must be something remarkably wonderful about you. When you come before his presence being totally gut honest about your stuff, what you discover is forgiveness and mercy and songs of deliverance and celebration being sung over you. That's why the song in your heart increases. It just echoes the songs of deliverance of the angels of God. Sing over you when you're honest about your stuff. The time has arrived for pruning and for singing. The voice of the Holy Spirit's been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines and blossoms have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. That's Lent. Rise up. From wherever you're at spiritually, rise up and leave that behind. It's time to move forward. Then he says, O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place. See, Lent's about getting into the secret place. Let me see your form and let me hear your voice. Lent, of all the seasons that we celebrate in this drama of divine romance, Lent is the most romantic season of all, culminated in the Passion Week, where the intensity, because love happens at the cross, and Lent ends at the cross, where he gives his love to us, and in response we give our love back to him and surrendered before him. O my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place, rise up and come along to this place, the secret place of the steep pathway, your secret place. Let him see your form. Let him hear your voice. For your voice is sweet to him and your form is lovely. And in that place, he'll get specific. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards while the vineyards didn't blossom. And you know what happens when you come out of that place? A place of intimacy, the secret place of the steep pathway, a place where he has your presence before him, he hears your voice, and he speaks to you and shows you the little foxes. Lent is about getting down to the little foxes. You and I are really good about dealing with the big lions and the bears and tigers. What we're not really good about are the little attitudes and little dispositions of judgment and condemnation and criticalness and coveting and all those little things. Well, in that secret place where your voice is so sweet and your form is so lovely to him, doesn't sound like rejection to me, does it to you? He'll say, now, this little fox, catch this little fox. Why? What's the motive? For us. It's hurting us. And Lent is about us, me and him. To catch the foxes for us. They're ruining the vineyards while they're in blossom. And you find yourself in the place of conviction and repentance and confession and forgiveness and mercy and grace, you find yourself crying out, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. It's amazing to me. So this is a time of reaffirming that your beloved is yours and you are his. This is a time where God's saying to us, rise up and come along. Come away from the place you've been. There's a new place. It's a little higher up the secret place of the steep pathway. It's where we catch the little foxes. It's where you celebrate that I'm yours and you're mine. And it's where we'll build the new house, but at an elevated position from the one that you were at. And then he'll do it again, and he'll do it again. And you'll keep climbing that place, keep going up the secret place, this deep pathway. And then one day, you'll close your eyes, and you'll wake up, and you'll be at the very top, and you'll finally see him face to face. But because you've responded to every one of those calls to rise up and come along, when you see his face, without any hindrances, that'll look far more familiar than you ever imagined. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.